വാസുദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ സോ ഏഷ തേ ടെക്സ്റ്റ് 39 ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് 39 and 40 ഇസ്നേ ഏഷ തേ അഭിഹിത സാംഖ്യേ ബുദ്ധിർയോഗേ തു മാം ശൃണു ബുദ്ധിയുക്തോ യയാ പാർത്ഥ കർമ്മബന്ധം പ്രഹാസ്യസി ദെൻ നേഹാ അഭിക്രമനാശോസ്തി പ്രത്യാവായോ ന വിദ്യതെ സ്വൽപ്പം അപ്യസ്യ ധർമ്മസ്യ ത്രായതേ മഹതോ ഭയാൻ വ്യവസായാത്മീയ ബുദ്ധിർഏകേഹ കുരുനന്ദന ബഹുശാഖാഹ്യനന്ദശ്ച ബുദ്ധയോ അവ്യവസായിനാം സോ ദീസ് ആർ ദ വേഴ്സസ് വി സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് ഫ്രൈഡേ ആൻഡ് ഹിയർ നൗ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് വിത്ത് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിനിങ് സാഖ്യം ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് സാഖ്യബുദ്ധി ഓർ ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ സാഖ്യ ഫിലോസഫി കൃഷ്ണ സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് വിത്ത് അശോച്യാൻ അന്യശോചസ്ത്വം From that words, he started this Sankhya philosophy. Ashochyan anyashojastvam prajñavadamscha bhashase gadasu negadasumscha nani shochandi panditaham. From then onwards, right up to this verse, sukhadukka samayikrtva labha labhau jaya jayo tado yudhay yujyasya naivam papam avapsese. Up to that verse, Krishna spoke about Sankhyam. Sankhyam. And then after that, Sankhya philosophy, and then pure knowledge. That's what it was. Pure knowledge. What is the nature of this knowledge? Nature of this knowledge is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. What does that mean? Nitya Shuddham. It means it is eternal. There is nothing temporary in that. Everything is eternal. Everything is eternal. And because the truth is that there is no contamination in that. It's pure. It is pure. And therefore, it is eternal also. And once you know this truth, your knowledge is complete. That's why it's called Buddha. Buddha means, after knowing this, there is nothing else to be known after that. That is a perfection of knowledge, in other words. Because it has no connection with time, space, and by things like that, it's not bound by anything. Isn't it? Sandranandava bhodalmakam anupamidam kala deshavadibhyam. Kalam and desham cannot touch that. Which one? The soul. So the knowledge of the soul, Sankhya-jnanam, is beyond the limits of time and space. Time and space. Kaladeshavadibhyam. Nirmuktam, free from that. Nityamuktam, always free from all bondages. Nigama Shadasahasrena Nubhasyamanam mentions like that. That it's always shining forth, with uninterrupted by anything, eternally. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Sarubam. And therefore, because it cannot be bound by time and space, it's always liberated. It's always liberated. Unlike us, we are, in our bodily understanding, identity, we are bound by time and space, isn't it? We have a limited existence as far as time is concerned. And our presence is only in a limited space we occupy. Whereas the soul, the Atma, by its nature, it's present everywhere. It's not even, not only in this world or in this universe, everywhere else it is present. That is the beauty of the soul. So, of course, these things are difficult to understand when we are absorbed in the body, but at least we can appreciate what the nature of the soul when Krishna is explaining that here. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Nitya Shuddham, Nitya Buddham, Nitya Muktam. Eternally pure, eternally liberated, and eternally conscious. And Krishna spoke about that. After knowing this, Krishna says, Sukha Dukkha Samaye Kritva Labha Labho Jaya Jayo. Sukham Dukkham Samaye Kritva Labham Labha Labho. Profit, loss, happiness, distress, all these things are mental experiences in relationship with the mind. Sukham, happiness is mental. Distress is also mental. Once who has crossed over the mind, Krishna says, once who have gone beyond the mind, these mental experiences will not have any effect on him. It will not have any effect on him. The mind, body, both of you, I am neither of this, neither the body nor the mind. And what am I then? I am only the witness. I am only the silent witness of everything what is happening within this mind and the body. So in other words, our identity has moved away from the mind and the body to the soul, prajna, it is called. In the Bhagavatam, the word used is jnapti. Jnapti, there is a word you will find in some places. The word used is jnapti. Jnapti means that pratyagalpa. There are so many terminologies used for that. Pratyaya is one word. Jnapti is another word. Jnapti is that separated witness of the mind and the intelligence. Once this gets cleared up, jnapti state, then whatever happens in the mind and the body will not affect it. Just like when you go to sleep and in the dream, whatever that has happened, some distress happened in the dream, as soon as you wake up in the morning, that distress is gone, isn't it? Then only you realize it, that it was, that distress was only experienced in the dream and it does not affect you anymore once you wake up from the dream. Similarly, this distress that is coming from this material world or material existence also, once the knowledge is awakened inside, it is called pratyabhijna, that knowledge what is woken up inside, that then all this distress that is experienced in the mind, for happiness and distress that is experienced in the mind, will also not disturb us or touch us. That it may be there externally, one may see all these things, but it is difficult to get it off from externally. Suppose a body gets ill or a body gets injured. You may see from outside when you look at the body is going through all the changes, what's happening. Or even if you look at the mind, some people's mind, of course we can't see it, but we may experience the distress of a person by seeing him, thinking that he is suffering through the mind. But actually it will not affect him, because he is seeing now the mind and the body as a witness. He is not seeing anymore, identifying with the mind, or mental experiences have left him, because he has come to the platform of Jnapti. Jnapti means he has become identification with the soul. Sukha dukkha samaye kritva, sukham and dukkham, happiness and distress equally, and this equality is in the chittam. And sukha dukkham, happiness and distress in the world outside, without allowing the mind to get disturbed or move. Samabhav, that means with an equal vision, profit and loss, happiness and success and failure, look at that in that way, Krishna is saying to Arjuna to get ready for the fight. Naivam papam avapsisi, Krishna says there, isn't it? Naivam papam avapsisi, because in that case, you will not be affected by any sinful reaction. Papa means sinful reaction. What is a sinful reaction? Krishna mentioned that. Sinful reaction is this, I am doing this, that kartrutva buddhi, that is sinful. So that kartrutva buddhi will not be there and it will not touch you. After saying this, Krishna spoke about this, eshame. In the next verse he said that eshame tabhidam sanghye. Isn't it? Esha abhida sanghye buddhir yogattum imam shruno buddhi yukto veya partha karmabandham prahasyasi. That he talk, Krishna says that I have spoken about the analytical knowledge. And up till now, I have talked about the Sankhya Buddhi. Now, Krishna says, I am going to talk to you about the Yoga Buddhi. Sankhya Buddhi is what is discussed so far. And now Krishna is going to say about the Yoga Buddhi. Yoga Buddhi means the Sankhya Buddhi, what we have heard about, how to make it practical. That is called Yoga Buddhi. How to make it practical. Krishna is saying here, in our daily life, every day, how to experience this truth practically, that is what Krishna is going to talk from now on. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken from the Sankhya philosophy, how to make that practically into our life and make it as a daily experience in this life, how to do that, that's what Krishna is going to talk about from now. Now, in the next verse, Buddhi Yukta's 39 verse, Krishna says, Buddhi Yukto Yaya Partha Karma Bandham Prahasyasi, Krishna says. We saw that, what it means, isn't it? How karmam catches us. That's the first thing. How karmam catches us. Then how we get trapped in that. That also we have seen. How karmam, we get trapped in the karmam. First we go and do the karmam. That means we go and catch the karmam. And then karmam catches us. That's what later happened. We will start the karmam and then the karmam will generate its own force in us. Isn't it? And it will catch us after that. So we saw before that the karmam is a trap for everybody. And how to free ourselves from the trap of karmam, that's what Krishna is going to explain now. And from that, because we saw the result of karmam, the effect of karmam is that the result of karmam is what? Kartratvam, boktratvam, ragam, dvesham, isn't it? Attachment and aversion. And I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. So, how to cut off that bondage with the karmam? And that is what Krishna calls it as yoga buddhi. Yoga buddhi. So, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is not to encourage us to get absorbed in karmam and through karmam to release ourselves from the material existence. No. Purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to give us the knowledge and jnanam whereby we can free ourselves from the bondage of karmam. Once we get this yoga buddhi, Krishna is saying karmam, karma bandham, or the bondage from karmam, can be removed from karmam with the help of karmam, and it will completely released from the effect of karmam. What will happen with the karmam? There are four things, isn't it? രാഗദ്വേഷം, കർത്തൃത്വ ഭോക്തൃത്വം, ദീസ് ആർ ദി ഫോർ തിങ്സ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് എ വിച്ച് കോസസ് ദ പ്രോബ്ലം. രാഗദ്വേഷം ആൻഡ് കർത്തൃത്വ ഭോക്തൃത്വം, ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് അറാച്ച്മെൻറ്റ് അവർഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഐ എം ദ ഡൂർ ആൻഡ് എം ദി എൻജോയർ. ഇൻ ദി 12th ചാപ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ സേ അബൌട്ട് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് വെൻ വൺ എൻഗേജസ് ഇൻ കർമ്മം, when he sees these things he will get frightened, these four things, and that's what has happened to Arjuna also, isn't it? These four things will one gets frightened of that, and then when proper discrimination develops inside and he understands that this karmam is disturbing me a lot, karmam is disturbing me a lot. Normally in this world people love karmam, isn't it? They enjoy, they love the karmam. therefore many people have misunderstood in the Bhagavad Gita that the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to how to do your karmam better. That's what they have understood, how one should do one's karmam better. Yoga karmasu kaushalam, there are statements in the Bhagavad Gita from that, they have understood like that. Therefore if you say that Bhagavad Gita has been spoken for developing knowledge and bhakti, knowledge and bhakti and jnanam, devotion and knowledge, they disagree with that. They saying that no, it is meant for improving our karmam in this world, activities of this world. Therefore Tilak and many others, Balganga Tilak and many others, they talked about the karmam, karma secret of the karma, karma yogam. They spoke like that. If you accept that, if karmam is the main purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, is to encourage us in our karmam, then all the Upanishads and Vedas, they will have to be rejected. They will have to be rejected. Because Upanishads, which is the later part of the Vedas, strongly recommends and strongly talk to us about the purpose of self-realization and knowledge. Self-realization and knowledge. Naishkarma siddhim paramam sanyesayanadi gachadi. If you look into chapter 18, verse 49, you will see there, in chapter 18, verse 49, what is it says? Asakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigadaspruha naishkarma siddhim paramam sanyesayanadi gachadi. That is the verse. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidatma vigadaspruha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyesenati gacchadi. Translation: one can obtain the results of renunciation simply by self-control and by becoming unattached to material things and disregarding material enjoyment. This is the highest perfectional stage of renunciation. Naishkarmya siddhi, the word used is naishkarmya siddhi. That naishkarmya siddhi means able to execute karmam without being bound by the karmam. That means ragadvesham and kartrutva bhoktrutvam does not happen. That is called naishkarmam. So naishkarma siddhim paramam, Krishna says, that this naishkarma siddhi is the goal. How to become free from karmam. Ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam does not happen anymore from that state. That is what Krishna is saying there. That naishkarma siddhi means that state when we have karmam has left us. We don't have karmam anymore. That is the goal. And when the proper intelligence develops inside, we will know that karmam has caught us actually. We will come to understand this at some point in time in life. Karmam has caught us. And if you continuously still engage in karmam, you will get completely entangled in that. You'll get completely entangled in that. Arjuna Vishada Yogam is this, that Arjuna has become wise now. That discrimination has developed inside. He understood that if I act now, I'll get in trouble. He has come to that point now. His realization has come to that point. Because the reason for that is, his grandfather and father's brothers, they are all developing a hate towards him. Developing a hate towards him when he has come to fight. Therefore, he was thinking in his own mind, if I do this fighting, it will result in sinful reactions in a large scale. So, normally, we will have the vasana to do some things, to do some karmam, and we will suffer like this. And whole life, I will, if I fight this war, I will develop such sinful vasana within me, and the result of that, I will struggle myself, and the whole life I will be in distress. All this kind of realizations were coming to Arjuna. So, when Arjuna was like this, Arjuna started thinking, if I fight this war, the whole lifetime I will be crying. And Arjuna was thinking well ahead. He was thinking, after if I have fought this war, if I lose it, well, I have finished with this life. If I don't lose it, I win the war, what will happen is, in that process, you can imagine, in any war, nobody wins completely, isn't it? Both sides will have to lose a lot. So I will become a cause for the distress of so many people. This way Arjuna was thinking about this. What do I gain from killing all these people? This is the after effect of karma. That's when Krishna is saying, that is when Arjuna left his bow and arrow, isn't it? Now you will say, Idigovindi tektva tushnim babuvaha. Earlier you will see these words in the second chapter, verse 9. I will not fight. And he stood back. He pulled back. Arjuna pulled back. So this is the first stage in life. That when that discrimination comes, what does one do? I will not engage in karma anymore. And he withdraws from that. He will withdraw. And will withdraw for some time. Temporarily he will withdraw. Not that he has given up karma. Temporarily he has understood that because he does not know how to work in the karma mandalam. You see, this happens to all of us. It's not only happens to Arjuna. Sometimes we engage in karma in this world, in different kinds of karmic activities. And when we get more absorbed in the karmic activities, at some time, because karma brings these four things, ragadvesham and kartratva bhoktratvam, when it becomes very strong, it starts affecting us, isn't it? It starts affecting us. Most of us have that experience also. So, because we don't know how to deal with, how to function ourselves properly in the field of karma, what will happen is, ragadvesham and also kartratva bhoktratvam will develop. Ragadvesham is the main thing. Kartratva bhoktratvam, we are not conscious of it. Ragadvesham will happen. As soon as you get involved with karma and start dealing with people in different phases in life, immediately it develops some attachment to some people, some hate towards some others, and it becomes very complicated. This will enter into our mind, isn't it? It will enter into our mind. And when it becomes very strong, at some point we find it very unbearable. And at that time, we start sensing ourselves that if I keep doing this for a long time, I will get completely destroyed inside. This will happen to everyone. We all know that. And that is the nature of the karma. Ragadvesham and desire for results will be there. In order to get the desired results, we will push things. And sometimes when we push things, others may not like it. They will react to it. And immediately we start fighting against that. That so-and-so is against my desire, is operating, is working against that, so I have to do something to get him out of it. And this way ragadvesham will happen in this world. And saying like this, Arjuna has withdrawn. I'm not here for this, saying like this, Arjuna. Because Arjuna also experienced the same thing when he had to fight against his relatives and family members. So the same thought came to Arjuna's mind. And then what Arjuna has done now, he said, after he has withdrawn from that, due to the association with Krishna, Krishna spoke to him about karma, and he got some clarity inside. How to deal with this world. When he got that clarity, he was able to come back and do the fighting again. Otherwise, it would have been very difficult for Arjuna. In other words, Krishna is saying to us also in the same way that the attitude of Arjuna has changed now from the previously. Previously, there was one attitude towards relations and friends. Now, that attitude has gone. He has come with a different understanding now, after hearing from Krishna. So, this is important for us also, that when we deal with the world, as soon as you find that it is causing a lot of disturbance, distress in the mind, because raga dvesham will bring distress, no matter what it is. However strong you are, and however detached you are, as soon as you deal in the karma mandalam, once you start working through karmam or get involved in karmam, it will bring ragam and dvesham. It is bound to happen. It's bound to happen. Only thing, you have to sit and analyze how people suffer in this world because of this. Many of the problems we experience in life is coming from karma. Just like you can see politicians, because they are always involved in very severe karma, isn't it? Political activities. And sometimes they, in their dealings with the opponents in the political field, they will engage in some activity which will cause a lot of attachment and aversion. Some people will support and some people will go against. And eventually it builds up. It builds up to a very high degree. Then they have to either withdraw from there and move away, or they keep on fighting whole life, and in that process you will create a lot of enemies. And eventually you will leave this world. The technique Krishna is saying here is raga dvesham should not develop inside. And that is very hard when you are engaged in karma. Not to allow that to happen. Not to disturb another living entity. Not to create any attachment to anyone or aversion to anyone. Both are equally bad. Attachment and aversion are equally bad. Ragam and dvesham is that. Ragam is attachment and dvesham is aversion. So you can imagine, when you are dealing with many, many people in this world, attachment and aversion will happen. You cannot avoid that. That is the nature of the karmam. So karma mandalam, when it gets too strong, one has to withdraw from that, because it's destroying yourself in that process. That is what Krishna is saying here. The example is like this. You can see that when the children play, say for example, when they play cricket, the children are very serious about everything, isn't it? When they are playing the game, they are very serious about it. Now, suddenly, say, the granddad, just out of fun, wants to encourage them, joins them to play with them. So, while playing with them, the granddad could not get any runs, or he got out from the field. And then he doesn't get affected by that. Why? Because his consciousness is different than the children. Children gets very upset when they get run out or when they get bowled or anything like that. So the children feels it, but the granddad doesn't feel anything. He goes and plays there with this understanding that it is only a fun. In that way he plays. So whether he wins or whether he loses, you don't see the granddad crying. But the children, if they lose or when they play, they get affected by the results when they play the game. Why? Because the granddad is in proper understanding that he is taking purely it as a game. So, whereas the children are playing with attachment and aversion, isn't it? They have attachment to the game. The results must come according to that. At one time, the granddad also would have played the cricket in the same way, like the children are playing now. So you can see that when the understanding has changed in the mind of the granddad is not anymore affected by winning or losing. So similarly, raga dvesham is causing a problem. So Krishna is saying that if you, without ragam and without dvesham, if you execute karmam, there will be no problem. Whether you do it or if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. Krishna says, whether you do it or you don't do it, it doesn't matter. This is the Bhagavad Gita's point. Bhagavad Gita's point is this. This is the point Krishna is making here. That if you can execute karma with raga, without karma, ragam and dvesham, then he is perfect. His approach is perfect. Purna Purushan, Krishna says like that. Purna Purushan means Purnamirisha means a complete person, a proper person. Krishna's definition is like this. By doing activity, there is nothing to gain. Nothing to gain. Like the granddad was playing the cricket, he is not bothered whether he is winning or losing. He is completely relaxed about it. Listen, nothing to gain. And in that process, if he execute the karma, there is no harm or damage going to come. But he is continuously, Krishna says, for this reason, I continuously keep on doing things in this world. Only for the benefit of the world, Krishna says. So this is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. It's something like Krishna's autobiography, Krishna is saying, writing here. The next verse is Krishna's own words about himself. Krishna's autobiography is what you find there, what you see in the next verse, 22. not in the next verse, in the third chapter, when Krishna will talk about this. If you look in the third chapter, that you will see the verse 22. What does Krishna say there? Krishna will talk about himself. Generally, Krishna doesn't say much, but here you will see something Krishna says. Verse 22. Yes. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu logeshu kinchana nana avaptam avaptavyam vartam evacha karmani. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu logeshu kinchana nana avaptam avaptavyam nana avaptam avaptavyam vartam evacha karmani. Translation. O son of Partha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in work. See that verse? Verse 22. Krishna is telling us how he approaches karma, in his way of approaching karma. He says, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. He has no work to do. Nor am I in want of anything. I don't need any results from any karma. Nor have I need to obtain anything. I don't have to gain anything from this. And yet, I'm engaged in work. Very important thing. That, name parthasti kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. So, Krishna explains to Arjuna that it is this attitude that when Krishna is saying like this, that name parthastu kartavyam trishlogeshu kinchana, after reading all these things, people will tell us that, oh, Bhagavad Gita is only telling one important thing, that we have to do your duty. Isn't it? We all say like this about the duty. But if you read this verse, we understand here that when we keep saying about the duty, Krishna is saying, Arjuna, there is no duty for me. Now, why does Krishna say like this? This is the question we have to ask. When Krishna says, there is no duty for me, Krishna is not speaking purely on some bodily level. He is speaking from the spiritual angle. In other words, no spirit soul has any duty to do anything in this world. Neither us. We also don't have any duty here. When we keep forcing or using Bhagavad Gita, people will always say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is only telling one thing, to do your duty. We keep pushing this point to everybody, isn't it? What is Bhagavad Gita? They may not have read Bhagavad Gita. They may not have thought about it. Still they will tell you, well, Bhagavad Gita has told us to do your duty. We keep this. And we created all these duties, what we are talking about as duty. So Krishna is saying here, that Arjuna, I have no duty to perform. Krishna is speaking from the spiritual position, not purely based on a bodily level. That soul, Krishna is a soul in everyone. Because Krishna is saying there, the soul has no duty actually to do anything in this creation, which includes us as well. We are also the soul. In our spiritual position, we are also soul, not the body. So as a soul, we have no duty to perform in this world. But if you come to the bodily level, individual bodily level, then you will start thinking like this, I have my duty to do, I have this duty. There is actually no duty to do anything. this duty is one what we have created, all these things. And we suffer from this. Whole life we are busy doing the duty. And what do we get out of this duty? Nothing. And the only duty will be there. So duty is a thing, what we have duty, we keep on saying about this. Totally, and there is no duty to be performed, totally free from the weight of duty. This, we have to get out of this duty business. Duty is causing so much problem that duty brings up into strongly into this attachment and aversion, and kartratvam and bhoktratvam grows inside, the doership goes inside. And therefore, Krishna made it very clear, name parthastu kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana. In either of the three worlds, there is anything to be done for me. Why? Because he is in the spiritual platform, he is speaking this. So we also expected to come to the same consciousness what Krishna has spoken there. Otherwise, there is no need to tell us all these things. But what do? We use Bhagavad Gita and tell everybody. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Bhagavad Gita says, do your duty, isn't it? And we may create all sorts of duties and get busy with the duty whole life. So we must be careful that this karma yogam, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, is the technique or the process by which you can get out of this miserable karma once for all. How to free yourself from karma, not to create further bondage in this world. Rather, on the other hand, a process by which get released from the bondage of karma and come back to our constitutional spiritual position as the spirit soul. So, what does duty mean? So, Krishna says here, now, great devotees, they have sung about Krishna, isn't it? Great devotees who are great, perfect devotees, they have glorified Krishna. When they sung about Krishna, Ramachandra, did they do it out of duty? Can you imagine that they were singing songs glorifying Krishna after their realization? They are not talking about duty at that time. Oh, I'm doing it as a duty. No, it's purely out of love for Krishna. They have sung, not out of duty. Duty is something what comes from false ego. That also we must remember. The origin of duty is false ego. It is from false ego this duty comes out. It is all working in a subtle level inside us. And we are thinking that when the duty is duty means ahangaram or false ego, and that is working, and it pops up in the form of this duty. This false ego pops out in the form of duty. And it will stay very strongly inside. And that is mode of duty, performing the duty. So, just to give an example, when they sung about Krishna, when they glorified Krishna, Ramachandra, great or Shiva, any great devotees pure devotees of this Lord, of Ramachandra or Krishna or Shiva or anybody for that matter, they never sang out of duty. They never had any feeling of duty. If they sung out of duty, it will be different. It will be a different thing altogether. But you can go through all the great devotees, for example, Tyagaraj, Tukaram, or Narasimha Mehta, or all the great personalities who sung glorifying Krishna or glorifying Ramachandra, they didn't sing as a duty. It is purely the love that has come out from inside, it turns out. So, it is not duty, it is bliss. They are experiencing the bliss. From the bliss, this has happened. Duty means a false ego. Duty means false ego. And it will stay very strongly like that mood. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Trishilokeshu Kinchana, in all the three worlds, I have no duty to perform anything. And if I don't do it, there is no loss either. Nothing is going to lost. And by doing it, I'm not going to gain anything. But still, I'm doing things in this world. I keep on doing things for the benefit of the world. Krishna says like that. So, that is perfection. If you stay in that perfection, without bothering about the results, what results are going to come, there is a great beauty in there. There's a great beauty in there. Because you can see otherwise what Krishna has done while he was here. If you look into all sorts of things, what Krishna got involved with, and still completely unaffected by that. That was Krishna, isn't it? Completely unaffected by anything what happened here. Profit, loss, nothing was taken into account. He just kept doing what has to be done on every day, on a daily basis. Then once somebody asked him, and you can see this particularly, if you look at it, say a mother takes a little child on her lap and feeds food to the child. Does she think, oh, it is my duty I am doing this? She doesn't think like that. The mother does it out of the love for the child, not for any duty. If you put everything into duty category, then you will need rules and regulations. If you start looking after a child based on duty basis, the child will never be properly looked after, isn't it? So there, this duty withdraw. Duty is not there anymore. Duty is what we have created in order that's because of our false ego inside. That we need all this, so that's my duty, we say, isn't it? It's my duty. There is no such thing. Krishna is saying, Trishilokeshu kinchana name parthasi kartavyam. There is no such thing as like that, duty. Duty, because we have false ego inside, we need this duty thing. Therefore, to find we are channeling it in another way, saying that it is my duty, so that the false ego will be peaceful within ourselves. That's how this duty has come about. So, name parthastu kartavyam trishilokeshu kinchanam. So, all these great people, personalities who have sung, one person once asked a sage, can we reach Krishna through music? through the songs. By singing the songs, can we reach Krishna? So, and he gave examples also of great devotees who used to use music as a vehicle to get to reach Krishna. Great, there are many, many great devotees, isn't it, who have used music as a great vehicle to get to Krishna. So, and they gave the examples like this, like Tyagaraja and so many others who sung and glorified Ramachandra in that way. So, he said, did they not reach there by singing? The question was like this, that is it possible through music we can also reach Krishna? That was the question. Do you understand the question? Question is this, that is it possible to reach Krishna through music, by singing the glories of Krishna? So, the answer to that is, they didn't sing before they reached Krishna. They reached Krishna and then they sung. That's the difference there. We think that we misunderstand, isn't it? All these great devotees, you take for example Tukaram and many others who are great devotees. We think that they sung, by singing songs they reached Krishna. No, they reached Krishna and then they sung of their blissful experiences of realizing the truth. That come out in the form of song for them. All the great devotees, if you look at it, this is how it happens. That after they have realized the truth, when they found the bliss that's coming from that realization, it came in the form of song, it started flowing out. It's not that they sung and they got there. No, it didn't happen that way. So that's why when they sung the song, because it was from the realized state, that song is pure. That song is pure. We also sing a lot of songs, isn't it? But our songs are purely made up. We pick up words from the dictionary and the songwriters, they write these songs. And take, for example, Mirabai. Mirabai's songs have come out after realization, not before that. After she has realized the truth, then it is flowing freely without any non-stop. It's coming out. That's why so much she wrote. Mira Bhajans are so popular, isn't it? So how did this all come out? After realizations it has come out. So what they have experienced, anubhuti it is called, of that thing, of the soul, that they sung in the form of poems. Yes, for them, because what they have experienced, they want others also to enjoy. Because of their compassion for others, they wrote them. And that is why these activities have happened after that. After realization, they sung and they wrote it down for others' benefit. We have so much, such a wealth of songs for Ramachandra, Krishna, Shiva, Shrivarvati, and many others. Their devotees have written such fantastic, amazing literature they have created. Thousands and thousands of verses that has come out from their mouth, all after realization. After they have pleased the deity. With the deity, they have worshipped, they have pleased the deity. All acharyas, in addition to that, acharyas have given so much. They have written down and showing their meticulous way how they have glorified Shrivarvati and so many others in that way. And their attachment, if you see that, through those verses you can read their mind. What state of consciousness they were when they were writing that. Continuously experiencing that spiritual realization that was coming through them. So, because they wanted others also to enjoy it, that what they have experienced, that they are saying there that, how can I keep this within myself, what I am experiencing now? Let the whole world enjoy it. And that is how they did that. Just like when you throw food outside, what happens? In tropical weather, you will see the crows come, isn't it? And the crow, one crow won't come and eat that. He'll keep make a lot of noise, inviting all other crows also to come. All other crows also to join the feast. Whatever, they'll invite everybody else. So similarly, because they have mercy for others, for conditioned souls, those who have realized, they have mercy for others. They want us also to enjoy that same bliss, what they have experienced. Then, so one who has released from karma in that way, or one who has come to that state of bhakti, or devotion, or knowledge, with such a person, if you spend 5 or 10,000 years with him, it will not affect you. Because you will not be pulled back into karma again. That's the most important thing. That a realized soul, if you spend any amount of time with him, you will not get this temptation to go back to the world of karma again. World of karma again. Because what will happen? That his association will not create any chittavritti inside. No emotions will be created inside the mind. You will be peaceful all the time in the association of that person. It does not create any vritti or does not create any samskar inside, an association with such a person. So you can work with that freedom in this world when you have an association like that. Krishna is talking about this as, call this as karma yogam or karma sannyasam and all that. This is word Krishna is going to use now, karma yogam or karma sannyasam. In other words, activities without the doership. I am the doer. Kartrutvam is not there anymore. Kartrutvam is not there anymore. All the realized souls are on that platform. They are not thinking anymore. They are the doers. This is a very important thing. That unless we get out of this I am the doer concept, our karmam is going to bind us. Our karmam is going to bind us. And that is not a very easy thing. Then, so, how does that happen? That when we engage in activities without kartrutvam, or I have no, the mood is that I am not doing this. I am not doing this. And just like a cyclone or a rain or anything happens, we don't know who is actually, it all happens in a natural way, isn't it? So, without any personality identification, I keep doing things in this world. So, similarly, just like material nature is working through different ways, through cyclone or through heavy rain or anything like that, we don't see the person behind it who is doing all these things, isn't it? We don't see. We only think that something is happening in the nature. Earthquake, cyclone, all kinds of things happens in the nature. When it happens, we don't see the person who is controlling these things, isn't it? We see there is something behind it which is causing this to happen. So similarly, there we don't see the person who is taking ownership of that. He is staying behind. He doesn't tell us that I've done this. He keeps away. Similarly, material nature is working through us also in this world. With this understanding, if we deal with the world, we won't suffer. Material nature is forcing me to do this. Material nature is behind this. That I'm carrying on doing different things in this world. But the moment you come out of it and take the ownership and start thinking, oh, I need this to be done, I need that to be done. If you come to the platform of that, kartrutvam bhoktrutvam will develop straight away. That is the point Krishna is making here. That the material nature is worshipping this. That false ego is because of the presence of false ego, that even for little gains, our false ego will take control over that. But when the action takes place without the doer, without any particular ownership of the action, Krishna calls it as buddhi yogam. Krishna calls it as buddhi yogam. Not by the brain, but by the realized knowledge. I am thinking, not by the brain it will not work, but by the realization that I am simply an instrument or tool in Krishna's hands. And otherwise, if I don't develop realization is not there, then the false ego will develop inside. False ego will develop inside. So Krishna says there, without allowing that false ego to develop inside, if you can keep your consciousness in that state, Krishna says that the buddhi yogam will start working. So before Krishna going to talk about karma yogam, Krishna talks about buddhi yogam. That karma yogam, instead of explaining in detail, Krishna says in preparation to that, the first thing is this buddhi yogam. Buddhi yogam means that I am not the doer, Krishna is the doer. This is a point in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? That we hear these things, but we don't know how to move to that state. We want to be there, but we are unable to do it. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangaram vimudhalma kartaham iti manyate. We know that verse. We understand also what it means, isn't it? Kartaham iti manyate. Ahangara vimudhalma. Only due to ahangaram I am thinking I am the doer. Vimudhalma. I am melt into that position. Kartaham iti manyate. But the words we realize, we understand, but when we start doing things, it has no effect on our attitude. It has no effect on our attitude. And in seconds you forget these words and you become completely identified with the doership, ownership, isn't it? So, kayashadi karmabandham prahasyasi, Krishna says there, isn't it? In that verse he said, buddhi yukto yaya partha karmabandham prahasyasi. Buddhi yukto yaya partha. That if that buddhi yogam is there, then karmabandham prahasyasi. You will not be bound by karma. That is the main thing. That karma bandham will go only if this buddhi yogam is in there, in the karma. That is a very important point. Karma bandham. And Krishna's point is, karma has become a heavy thing in us sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes karma catches us. First we catch the karma, then karma catches us. That's what all the time, isn't it? First we go and fiddle with something. You can see this. Sometimes you try, something has broken down. Simple example, in home. Say washing machine, dishwasher or something like that. You think probably we'll give it a try first to fix it. When you start trying to fix it only, you realize it that you cannot identify the problem. And then you start spending lots and lots of time and energy in that direction. Then you get fed up afterwards. That you try to fix it, didn't work, and then you have to phone up the serviceman or somebody to come and do it. So in that process, you see the whole day you have wasted. Whole day has gone in that way. A nice day where you could have chanted the holy name and studied Bhagavad Gita goes in the, spend the whole day in fixing the washing machine. And then if it gets fixed, at least you can sleep in the night. But if it's not fixed, the whole anxiety gets carried over to the next day also. After waking up next day morning, back into the again same thing, taking the spanner. And so this way, how entanglement develops. Karma logam, the world of karma is like that. You go and touch that, then you get burned after that. Nothing will work according to your plan. Whatever you have planned, it doesn't happen. It happens at home, it happens in the office also. When you start doing something at your workplace, then you see there are so many problems from so many different sides, and they all start attacking you. So you have to keep fighting with everybody to get your way through in the office. So karmam is not a very happy situation. You go and catch karma, karma will catch you there. That's what happens, isn't it? First we go and touch it, and then he catches us. Then we can't get out of it. We want to come out of it. Everyday experience this is in life. So Krishna's point here is also that karmam is, if because karmam is like that, if this understanding is perfect inside, that I am not the doer, there is some other source behind it who is engaging me in this karmam, and free from that, not on an intellectual platform, but that realization inside. Krishna says here, whatever amount of activities you do, it will not generate any new vasanas and no bondage either. No bondage or no vasana inside. So it is a very desirable state to be engaged like that without any ownership of karma, without any ownership of karma. And all the great personalities, they have acted like this in this world without any ownership. Some people you will still see in this world who are acting like this in this world without any expectation of results. Or if the results don't come the way they wanted, unaffected by that, they are able to carry on with their work. So that will come only through maturity and realizations from life about karmam's true nature, how it catches us and destroys us. So Krishna's life was the perfect example. So much Krishna did, but never, not for a second, Krishna was always standing and laughing behind it. Why? There was no karma bondage wasn't there in any situations. And there was no content, asangoyam, 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 that puna puna, sachidananda rupoham. Why? Always Krishna is fixed in his identity as the soul. He's not thinking like us, I am this body, or I am this, I am the doer, or I am the enjoyer, the results must come. All these perceptions are not there in Krishna. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. Always, no sangam, no sangam, no sangam with anything. Puna puna, again and again. So this is the same mantra we have to chant within ourselves. I have nothing to do with this. I have nothing to do with this. And with that understanding, we have to do it. That, then what is my true nature? Sachidananda rupoham. I am eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. That's my nature. Not to be suffering like this with this karma in this world. That's not my nature. But we are such people that just like in a feast, if you serve a little small dish, a little salt into the into people who are sitting there, we will say, oh, I have served the whole feast, we will say. We are such people. In other words, we want to take ownership as much as possible, even though we have done very little for the particular activity. So these are, this is the thing what we have to come to terms with, that the whole creation is running under Krishna's control. Everything is happening in this world under Krishna's control. It is such a massive and huge creation. In this, we are such small, tiny living entities here. And what are we compared to this whole creation? And the creation is going on, and maintenance is going on, and dissolution is going on. So many things are happening in this creation. War is going on, and also different natural disasters are happening. So many things are happening in this whole creation on which nobody has any control over it. It's all happening. And still, we are all thinking we are the people who are controlling everything. So this is the trick. Any amount of work you do, if this kartrutva buddhi is not there, then as long as you are doing like that, that is the secret of karma, Krishna is saying here. And Krishna also said about this, solpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. If one has acted with this understanding, he can free himself from a greatest danger. Great fear will get out of him. Why the fear has come? Because of false ego inside, that I am the doer. When we execute karmam, we get frightened at some stage, isn't it? Sometimes when the activity what we are doing is not going in the right direction, or when the results are going to come in the wrong way, in everything what we do, whether it's at home, whether it's in the office or elsewhere, if the activity is what we are trying to execute, if the results are not coming properly, then we get frightened, isn't it? We frightened in the sense, we start working more or we start taking some remedial measures how to get it in the right way, isn't it? So there is a certain amount of fear develops inside. I've tried very hard. And then what happens normally when we find that there is some problem in there, then we are willing to devote more time. We stay late in the office, thinking that by my staying late, sometimes I may be able to get things under control. And often you will notice that when you get more frightened about karmam and engage in karmam, sometimes the results can still go wrong. Results will go wrong. And because it is like that, the fear develops inside. And where this is coming from? It's coming from false ego. It's coming from false ego. Ahangaram didiyat bhavati. It says ahangaram is the cause of all these things. The false ego is working in a very subtle level. False ego is working in a very subtle level. Krishna is saying about this in this verse also. That as soon as we have identified ourselves with the work, that I am the doer, duality has come. Duality has come from that. And immediately there is fear also. Immediately the fear also. There was a great personality called Bhartrihari. You may have heard about him. He is like Kalidas. He was also a well-known poet. So Bhartrihari wrote a book, and it is a very famous one. It's called About Renunciation. About Renunciation, Vairagya Shatakam. That's the name of the book. There is a verse there. It says here, Bhoge Roga Bhayam, Kule Chuti Bhayam, Vite Nrubalat Bhayam, Mane Dhainya Bhayam, Bale Ribu Bhayam, Rupe Jaraya Bhayam, Shastre Vadi Bhayam, Gune Khala Bhayam, Kaye Kadanat Bhayam, Sarvam Vastu Bhayanidam, Bhuvin Ranam, Vairagya Meva Bhayam. That is a famous verse in the Vairagya Shatakam. What he's saying there is that Bhoge Roga Bhayam, when we engage in sense gratification, we are fearful because it will bring disease to the body later. Any amount of eating, sleeping, all other activities also, the fear is there inside that we can get sick after the sense enjoyment. Too much sense enjoyment, isn't it? So Bhoga means sense enjoyment. Bhoge Roga Bhayam, will it bring disease to me? That fear inside. Kule Chuti Bhayam. If you are born in a very respectable family and if you have feeling that I come from this family, if anything happens in life, will it bring a bad name for me? That fear inside. That is Kule Chuti Bhayam. Then Vite Nrupalat Bhayam. When you accumulate a lot of wealth, you are frightened again. That will the money be taken away by the government? By the king or by the government, because you know income tax and all other kinds of things. Yeah, today they'll say 20p, tomorrow they'll say 50p on the pound, and then that is what he's talking about. Vitendra Balad Bhayam. Rich people are very worried about that, isn't it? When you are earning a lot of money, and then the king, the government controls it. Government messes up everything, and they say the rich people, now you pay for all that. So there is argument all the time. What you know what's going on now also you can see. It's a constant thing all the time happening. So Bhartrihari's point is this. Is there any stage in life when you are free from fear? No. There's fear always, isn't it? In different levels you experience this fear. You are experiencing this fear. So particularly things vite nrupalat bhayam. When the accumulates a lot of wealth, and then the fear, will it be taken away from me? Will I lose everything? Then, mane dhainya bhayam. That somebody, you are feeling, you have certain pride in you, and you go somewhere and you get insulted by some people. They insult you and put you into awkward situation. So then you don't want to go there. Mane dhainya bhayam. That feeling of getting insulted from there. Bale ripu bhayam. Suppose you are a very strong person, but you see someone else who is stronger than you physically, then you are considering him as your enemy. Bale ribhayam. Rupe jaraya bhayam. When your form, youthful form body, when it reaches the old age, you are frightened of the old age, that your form is dwindling. Hair going grey, teeth falling off, the skin becomes very unattractive, and you are always feeling dependence on others. So, rupam jaraya bhayam. Shastre Vadibhayam. If you have studied Shastram a lot, then you see someone else who is more learned than you, then you are fearful of him. That, oh, he knows better than me. So you are frightened of him. Shastre Vadibhayam. Gune Khalabhayam. Kaye Kadanadbhayam. Sarvam Vastubhayanvidam. Bhuvinanam. Vairagyamevabhayam. Then you have fear from all other things also, others' good qualities. You are getting frightened of that. And sarvam vastu bhayanvidam, Bhartrayari says that you are frightened of all of these things are frightening. Then what is the only shelter? Vairagyam eva abhayam. Once who has got renunciation, he is not frightened of anything. He is not frightened of anything. That is the only shelter. That this ahankaram, that is the cause behind it, isn't it? The false ego is the cause behind it. So, generally, old age is a problem. And with the old age, the beauty will be affected. Your hair goes away, the teeth goes away, and all kinds of things will happen. And similarly, those who have studied about Shastram, you get frightened. This way, what Bhartrahari mentions here, that because of her attachment with other things also, will they leave me? That fear. Say, members of the family who are very close to you, when they leave you, you feel that fear inside. If somebody else loses wealth, you are not worried about it. But if you lose the wealth, you are frightened of it. Isn't it? Somebody else dies, you are not concerned about it. These are the very funny things in this world for all of us, isn't it, to look at. That when a bank collapses, say for example, Lehman Brothers or anybody you take for that matter, any big bank, yeah? So when the bank goes bust, you read in the paper, it's just going bust. If you have no money there, what will you say? I think this should happen. It should have happened because your money is not there. Somebody else's money it is. So then you will say, it's not surprising this has happened. They're all like this, we'll say, about them, about the bankers. We'll say, they're all like this. It's not surprise at all this has happened. Suppose our money was there in that bank, what will you say? Oh, we'll say, why did this happen? This should not have happened. I've taken all precautions, but still this has happened. There, your attitude completely changes. Because it was not you or somebody else's money, you don't bother. You say, let it go, what does it matter? After all, they got so much money, they can afford this. We don't care about it, isn't it? So just because it's somebody else's, you're not bothered about it. If it is your money, if it's a loads of money that you have put into that, you can imagine what will happen, isn't it? It's the same thing with our connection with others also in this world, family, life, relatives and society and all that. So many people are dying in this world every day. We don't bother, they'll die. What is so to talk about that, they'll say. It's normal, isn't it? People die. Why should we feel bad about it? We'll say like that. Somebody very close to you dies, you say, why did he die? It should not have happened at such an early age. Why did this happen? So everything, when it comes to you, or when it comes to us personally, we make it different. The death has happened, whether somebody else dies or somebody close to you dies. It's death equally. But because it's yours, or ours, in other words, we get affected by that, isn't it? We get affected by that. So, so what does that mean? What is the reason behind it? Because of ragam. Ragam is the cause behind it, isn't it? So this ragam is the problem. Once the ragam goes away, then there is no fear anymore. There is no fear anymore. So, and what is the reason for that fear? Is the reason for the fear is ahankaram, false ego inside. A separate personality identity has happened to us, that I am separate from them. I'm not thinking in terms of the soul, I'm thinking in terms of the body, bodily identity. And once that identification, personality identification has happened, then all disturbances and problems have developed from that. That is why Krishna is saying here, this Brahmavidya, the science of the soul, if it is realized, this problem will go once for all. What is that Brahmavidya? That's what Krishna is talking about. Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Not from an intellectual platform. But if you have understood that the distress is happening in this world due to this ragam or attachment, and attachment is happening because I have separated myself from the mainstream. Mainstream is the soul. That is the main thing, the soul. I broke away from that, and individual identity or personality developed within me that I am separate from that. And due to the result of that, ahankaram, false ego, has built up in me. So when I am with the Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam of the soul, of the soul's pure nature, when I am in identification with the soul, I don't experience any of these things. When I separate myself from that and take my individuality away from that and personality builds up inside, Vyakti Bodham, then what happens? Ahankaram simultaneously comes up. This is the secret Krishna is telling us. How to get out of this attachment. There is no other way. There is no other way. So many things in the Shastram is only to bring this point to us, to clarify this point, that if you want to free yourself from this misery of attachment and how this attachment catches us at some time, like Arjuna got caught in that now, isn't it? Arjuna was not conscious who he is. Arjuna was thinking, I am this body and they are my relatives and they are my family members. And immediately Vyakti Bodham personality developed there within Arjuna. And those on the opposite side, they are individuals, they are different personality. So personality developed this very strongly inside Arjuna's heart. Isn't it? It developed in Arjuna's heart. So same way, what has happened to Arjuna is happening to us also in life. Every moment we are thinking, we are separate from that. From what? From that soul. I am this body. And identification with the body is very strong. And I have to look after myself. We always say like that, isn't it? You have to look after yourself. We also tell others, look after yourself, we say. Isn't it? We tell others to look after yourself. Take care. You look after yourself. Say, there's nobody to take care of anybody in this world. We are actually that thing, that soul, which is present in everyone. That is our proper identity. So once we lose that identity, Krishna is saying here, that your identity with the body gets built up, personality gets built up, false ego gets built up. Once the false ego is inside, ragam will be there, attachment will be there. It's very difficult to operate in this world without attachment and aversion, ragadvesham. Ragadvesham is the whole problem. Why? Even political leaders, you can look at it. One is thinking that their attachment to the country of birth. Somebody is thinking, I am the prime minister of this country. So my duty is to look after this country. Another prime minister is thinking somewhere else that he has to look after his country. So all the prime ministers and presidents of this world are busy with looking after their own countries. Is it not? So when you are doing like that, what will happen? Ragam will come, develop, attachment will come. My country and my country, my attachment to my country will develop inside. Naturally, once you develop, others is your enemy. The other side is your enemy. So you have to hate the other side. Because in your selfish interest, you have to put the other one down to promote your own interest, isn't it? Krishna is saying, this is not very good intelligence. Because if you develop this nature, it happens in a national level, it happens in a community level, and it happens in a family level. And then it comes to individual selfish interest within the family itself. We all actually love only ourselves. We don't love anything else in this world. This is the biggest mistake we carry with us. It is because we love ourselves so much, for that purpose we are creating all the other artificial relationship with everything else in this world. True relationship, Krishna is saying, is only from soul to the super soul. There is the only relationship in truth. All other relationships are all false. Are all false, completely based on the body and bodily relationships. So, Krishna mentions here that if you accept this, that that this Brahma Vidya, that's what Krishna calls it as Brahma Vidya, that if this knowledge has gone inside, little bit even, Krishna says, even a little bit if it has gone inside, that Krishna is running the whole show. In other words, when Krishna is talking about this, you should understand, Krishna is not talking simply as a person alone. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna is present in everyone, controlling everything, Supreme Controller. and supreme truth. And Krishna is the person who is talking to Arjuna at this, but he is speaking from a purely from a spiritually realized state as the absolute truth. He is speaking as the soul. So, and to understand this, Krishna says that it doesn't require a lot of intelligence to know these things. It doesn't require a lot of intelligence. Some unknown great power is running this creation. And once you have known this, then you are freed from rebirth. You are freed from rebirth. Because once ragam goes away, and dvesham also, ragam means no dvesham either. Ragadvesham doesn't happen to anyone, and is able to execute karmam in that way in this world, rebirth won't happen. Because why? Because there is no vasanas are created inside. Isn't it? Ragadvesham creates vasana inside. I mentioned this before. Karmam on its own is not a problem. Any karmam in this world is not a problem. What is the problem? Problem is the after effect of this karma. Karmam, because when you execute karmam, ragadvesham will be there. When there is ragam and dvesham, vasanas will develop. Once vasana is developed, you have to take another birth again. Bondage. From that bondage, you have to take another janmam, punarjanmam. So Krishna says that the secret is this, that you develop your approach, attitude towards karmam, you have to change first. If you change your attitude, if you are able to execute karmam without ragam, without dvesham, there is no rebirth again. There is no necessity to take another birth. Because whatever vasanas are inside, it will all get finished up in this life, and you have not generated any more new vasanas that you have to accept another material body. This is the principle behind it. So, only thing Krishna says you have to know is this, there you are just an instrument in that great power which is running the whole show. In Bhagavad Gita, this point is spoken in many, many times. Later on, you can see, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarutani mayaya. That the whole creation, all living entities are working arjuna tishtadi. By who? By Krishna. How does Krishna control us? Yandrar brahmayan hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. I am sitting in their heart and I am guiding them through in life. In other words, Krishna inside the heart, seated inside the heart, he is making us to work in this world. Whereas when we forget that Krishna is making us to do it, we are doing it, false ego has come there. False ego has come there. It's a very subtle thing that is happening inside us. We are not conscious of that. Although millions of times we have heard this from Bhagavad Gita, and we have heard from many people, still, when it comes to action, we find it very difficult to translate that into our mind. So, this is the essence of this yoga system Krishna is going to dawn. So, even if we have all that Krishna has spoken before about the soul, even if you have not understood anything, take it like that. Nothing has realized. Even if it comes to that state, that at least if you look into our own body, we can see, if we look into our own body, you can see how unknown to us many things are happening in this body, isn't it? Without our knowledge. First thing, we have no freedom with this body. We have no much freedom with this body. We didn't get this body, the body we wanted. You didn't get it. It was given to you. You had to take it, what was given, isn't it? Where you had to take birth, it was not your choice. It was forced upon you. And what kind of body, male body, female body, you had no choice. It was given to you. You have to take it. So, even after getting the body starts growing up, and the changes that's happening in the body, we have no control over it. boyhood, youthhood, old age, death. That process goes on in a natural way. Whether we have any control on it, nothing. We have no control over it. So there is no control in anything in as far as the body is concerned, isn't it? There's no control over any of these things as far as the body is concerned. Now, leave all that. If you think about your own life also, if you take it, is that everything happened according to your plan? Nothing happens according to the plan. Nothing happens according to the plan. If hardly 5% if it happens according to the plan, you should say it's success. 95% happens without anything according to your plan. It's just thrown at you. You just have to accept it. But I'm thinking, oh, everything I planned it correctly. It all worked according to the plan, isn't it? Yeah? So this is the illusion we are in. So Krishna is saying that by seeing all these things, at least you should learn that you are not the controller. That's the point Krishna is making there. That life is going in its own way. And when you eat food, how it gets digested? Have you got any knowledge of it? What is happening inside? I have no idea what goes on inside. Sometimes, because of sense gratification, I eat well and then I get sick. That's all I know. After you get sick, you realize it, why I got sick. Because I ate too much or I ate things which I should not have eaten. So that's all I know. But beyond that, why it went wrong, whether I can have any control over it, nothing. So not only about eating, similarly about breathing. As soon as I go to sleep, I don't put on the breathing system will work when I am sleeping. The breathing goes on its own. Listen, the body keeps functioning on its own way, it's breathing. Whole night, the machine is operating without my knowledge. Blood is circulating inside on its own, and therefore some energy is coming out from all these things. From the food, energy is extracted by some arrangement inside the body that we are able to function in this world, do things what we are doing. So all these things within the body, Krishna is saying there, that is happening without you getting involved in it. I am doing it from inside. And still, you are not accepting me, that I am the doer of the other things. There you are saying you are doing it, not me. Isn't it? That's why Krishna's point, that this thing, if you well thought over it, then Krishna says you will be able to come to terms with what Krishna is saying, that just like he is controlling everything within the body, even outside also, Krishna is actually the controller. We are not the controllers of anything. So once it is accepted, Krishna says there, when you sleep in the night, you are sleeping. And that is why there is a famous prayers like this. Everything is performed by material energy. Material energy is Sri Parvati. So the prayers to her is like this. Ya Devi Sarva Bodeshu Nidra Rubena Samstheda Namastasai Namastasmai Namastasai Namo Nama. That I pay my obeisances to her, that who is present in everyone and put them to sleep when she wants them to sleep. She puts us into sleep at a certain time in day, isn't it? When the night comes, we all are forced to sleep. We are all forced to sleep. So, Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu, who is present in Sri Parvati's presence, as Sarvabhudeshu, she is present in everyone. Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rubena Samstida, she is in the form of Nidra, she comes, in the form of sleep. She comes and tells us, no, you go to sleep. We have no choice. We go and sleep. When she tells us, you go and sleep. Like the mother tells a child to sleep, we have also no choice. We are also under her control, material energy. Then similarly, when we want to remember something, or when we go to sleep, so many things we have done during the day, the next morning it comes back again, isn't it? So how is it stored inside? Again, it says, Maya's energy, how it works. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Smriti Rubena Samstida. Like in the form of memory, she keeps it for us. Because she allows us to keep it, it stays. Not that we have the capacity to do anything. She says, okay, this memory should stay inside so that when you wake up in the morning, you remember all those things. But when she decides the memory should go, it goes. Isn't it? When you get old age, what happens? Everything we start forgetting. Isn't it? Then we start writing down everything. You have to write down. Otherwise, you'll forget it. Because that mind is become like that. And we are thinking, why did this happen to me? I could remember everything at one time. Now I can't remember anything. Why? She has decided, Sri Parvati has decided that that's it. Your time is finishing now. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu smriti rupena samsthita. To that, Sri Parvati, we are saying, namastase, 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 namo nama. All my obeisances to you. There is no other choice you have in these things. So everything, when hunger, for example, when hunger comes, we don't know where it has come from, and hunger comes and comes so powerful force it is, that we don't know what to do at that time. Except food, nothing else will fulfill that desire. If I keep telling you so many other things, you won't be interested. You need that food at that time. So again, Sri Parvati works there in that for Maya's different activities in this world. That we are simply instruments in the hands of that power, in that power, material energy. We can call it different names like that, but in the Shastram, it is identified with Sri Parvati. It is her duty, all these things, controlling everybody in this way. Pattern, she does that. So, Prahlada was asked, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, who is this strength you are talking about, energy or power you are talking about? That Prahlada said, we are all instruments in the hands of that power. And this power is not anybody's property. It is completely independent. We are just toys in her hand. That the power is so universal, and that controls us through the heart, through the pulse in the heart, the blood circulation, controls the intelligence, controls the memory, and digest the food, and make us to think when we want to think. And something in this body, she is present somewhere, this power, and it is controlling us. That na pranena na ahanena mrityur jivati kaschana. There is a statement in the Vedas like this, that pranan, nothing is, in the Veda says there, it's not by the pranan, but it is by that superior energy who controls. The human society feels that we are living on our own, independently from everything, but it is not the truth. There is a big powerful force behind it. And in the hands of that force, our existence depends. Our existence depends on that force, big force, which is unseen to us, and that is what is controlling that force. You can call that controller as Ishvara. The word used in the Bhagavad Gita is Ishvara. Ishvara Sarva. Ishvara means one who controls. Everything is controlled by him. So he's called Ishvara. And he sits inside and controls us. For example, Ishvara present within our heart, for him, his control is over this body. This body is under his control. He is inside this, isn't it? And everything, when the body is experiencing, I am thinking it is my experiencing. And Krishna is actually present inside as Ishvara. And all the movements of this body, all what is happening inside and outside, Krishna is controlling this. And Krishna constantly interacts with this world. And once you have understood this, we have become free. In other words, without allowing the false ego to come up any time, if we live a life in this world, we are free. Without allowing the false ego to come up and take ownership of everything, and identification with the false ego doesn't happen, then Krishna says, you are always free. And we can hand over everything to Krishna. In Krishna's head, you can put it on everything and sit peacefully without getting worried over anything. We should not carry the load on our head. That's a lesson from that. And Krishna is saying here, we are just children in Krishna's hands, in that superior power which is running the whole creation. And every living entity controls individually from inside. We are just tools in Krishna's hands. If we have come to terms with this understanding, Krishna says there is nothing to cry. And we are not meant to cry. We are meant to live happily in this world, peacefully in this situation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, And there is the example of a child given. If you remember the Tatraya Gita, where the Tatraya Maharshi and King Yadu spoke to each other. And at that time, Varteya Tektomanam, there is a verse there that the Tatraya Maharshi saying to King Yadu, one of a young child he saw while in his journey, and the Tatraya Maharshi says to Yadu, I have accepted him as my spiritual master. One of the 24 spiritual masters is a child, a little boy, who is playing all the time. So Yadu asked him, why is he your spiritual master? So the Tatraya Maharshi says what he learned from that child. What was the lesson he has learned from that? Nisahayas chareyam. That a child is helpless, isn't it? But he carries on doing things in this world. Nisahayas chareyam. That helplessly is doing things, and that mood has to come to us also in our dealings with this world. Only then the false ego will go. Why is the false ego there? Because of this, we are feeling very strongly that we can look after ourselves, isn't it? That we have identified with our own capacity, ability, so strongly that you are always feeling that you can handle yourself, you can manage the situation. But Yadu Maharaj says here, the Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I learned from this child one important thing. That I should wander in this world completely helpless. Like the child is living his life. Child plays with certain things, and when he is fed up, he throws the whole thing away and walks off from there. Similarly, I have also learned to live in this world in that way. So, Krishna, in that verse, it says there that that Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality and who is the father of this creation, who is the mother also, both roles, he is coming as Sri Parvati as the mother and Krishna as the role as the Supreme Controller, Ishvara. They are running this world. Why should I be concerned about this world so much? It's their responsibility. Because our faith is not strong in these things, in this understanding of verses from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. As soon as we leave, we start going back again to our old thoughts, old understanding that, oh, if I don't do this, what will happen? If I don't, there's nothing going to happen. Everything will happen in the way as it is already set by Krishna's arrangement. That in the Shastram, the example is given, like in the houses, suppose wooden houses built with wood, you will see sometimes this lizard goes and stands on this wood, right? If you look at the lizard will give you an impression that he is carrying the whole beam on which the lizard is sitting. So that's the way we are also thinking about this, our life, as though the whole responsibility of running this whole world is on our head, and we have taken it upon ourselves in that way. And when that gets very strong, when people, especially the leaders, when they don't have any faith in the creator or who is running the show, then they make it all the time. This is the only job that goes on. Leaders have no time. They are busy whole day with their management, in the night busy with the meetings and discussions, as though the whole life world is running because of their discussions and meetings. But Krishna is saying, get out of all this nonsense. This is not going to help. Then, so the example is given like that. For householders also, it's a very difficult thing. Equally difficult for the householders. Because this concept that we are running the house is very strong in the householder, isn't it? Like the Prime Minister or President thinks that he is running the country and he has to make decisions which are related to the country. The householder has got also this same problem that while running the house, everything should be under my control. What I say should happen in the house. Wife and children, everything should go with me, with my decisions. If there is disagreement, there is problem. So that is his empire, the householder's empire. And the Prime Minister, they have a big empire to think. It's in a smaller level, miniature level, you can say. So Krishna says there, when a situation happens like that, that you are feeling too much controlled by the situation you got into, what one should do, we have to withdraw from that at some point. At some point you have to withdraw. Because if you allow this consciousness to develop strongly inside, it becomes very difficult to pull out of it later. At some point it's very difficult to pull out of it later. So, example says, once a person was very, very, very busy with his householder life. So, he used to go to an ashram also as a part of his householder life to get some association with a sannyasi there. He was going there regularly. So, every time sannyasi told him to do something, he will say, I got this responsibility, that responsibility. He has so many excuses to make. So, when this happened many times, one day the sannyasi understood the problem. The problem is this. This person has taken everything on his head. And he is thinking that it's only because of him the house is running properly. Otherwise things can go all wrong. He is so convinced about it in a very subtle level. He is so convinced about it. So what the sannyasi told him was, sannyasi told him that, look, my dear friend, you have been in the household of life for so long. I'm not asking you to leave home and go away forever. But at least for 3 months or so, you just go on a pilgrimage and see how things go. Have some association with some holy places you should travel. Try to get some association with some saintly people. And that will help you in your spiritual life. So immediately he reacted, if I leave home, what will happen? Who will take the children to school? And who will do the shopping? Who will pay the bills on time? If this has not happened, then what will happen? All kinds of arguments he put forward. So the sannyasi told him, give it a try once and see what happens. Probably when you come back, you will be surprised, he said, things were working much better than when you were there, when you were running the show. So this illusion in our head, that it is because of my presence everything is happening. If I go away, what will happen? This is very strong in all our heads. It's impossible to get it out from our head, householder's life. So he says here, is everything happening because of our presence? That is another illusion. We have to take it to granted that nobody is indispensable in this world. Nobody is indispensable. We all have come here and we have to go from here. And in that process, we are in this illusion. Of course, the false ego inside, Kartrutva Buddhi is strong here. But Krishna is talking about this Karma Yogam, or the secret of karma at this point, saying to us that, understand Arjuna, this is the secret, that you have to execute the work in this world without the doership in any way. And we are simply an instrument in Krishna's hands. If you have understood this, and if you act in that way, then you are completely free person. You are totally free. And that is liberation. Liberation is not something that somewhere else we have to go and pick up from somewhere. That's a different understanding. How to free ourselves from this bondage, from the influence of karma, and how to act in this world like Krishna acted, without any disturbances from anywhere, able to execute everything completely undisturbed, untouched by anything, able to still carry on functioning in any situation, whether in this world or in another world, you are totally free from all kinds of ragam, dvesham, attachment and aversion, ownership of doing, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. If these things are left, you are already liberated. That's what the point Krishna is making. This is liberation from the influence of karma. And that doesn't happen very easily unless we have that desire in us. And this secret of karma, what Krishna is explained here, is the first step in spiritual life. The secret of this karma is the first step in spiritual life. That if our karma, if karma is eating us away, we have to learn when to withdraw from karma. And we have to go back and get back to our anchor. That's the soul. And once you are anchored to the soul, then the knowledge will come back and start making us to think about again whether I should get involved in the karma more, or withdrawal at different stages in life is necessary for all of us when we are engaged in karma. Throughout your life, when you start working till you retire, if you simply work without any of these thoughts inside, what will happen is that karma will eat you one day. And that's why it's happening now. After retirement, people are finding it difficult. Why? They are saying that, what shall I do after retirement? People are asking this question. So they are happy the government is raising the age, 65, 66, 67, 70, 75, 80. They'll be happy to go to work at 80 also. They don't want to sit at home and think any of these things, because they are frightened, what will happen to me if I sit at home? They are frightened of themselves, in other words. Not about anything else, of themselves. They know their habits are such that throughout life they worked without giving any thoughts to these things what Krishna is talking about. Krishna says you can work up to 80 or even right up to the moment you go to Golders Green. You can work, no problem. But work with this consciousness. That's the point Krishna is making. That work with this consciousness that you are not to do. It won't bind you. On the other hand, if you keep on doing things, because it's very difficult after working in an environment for 40, 50 years to come out and say, I have to sit at home one day without doing anything. That's very hard for most of the people, isn't it? They find it very hard. Why? Because that karma vasana inside what he has generated throughout life, that will force you to look for another work. There was an interesting thing. There was an old postman who delivers the letters. So you know the Royal Mail is going through all the crisis now. So his health is very poor and he has wanting to retire. Wanting to retire. He's got health problems. He's close to 60. And already he's finding it difficult to take this. Now Royal Mail has got big parcels to deliver also. It's finding very difficult to do it. So while talking to him, he's saying that I want them to make me redundant, but I've already lined up another job, he says. The next job, somewhere else, he has got it organized. He says, if I leave this, I'll get that. So in other words, the fear inside, what will happen to me if I leave the job? So more than the income, more than the other things connected with the income, because most of the money, what they earn, a lot of money goes in taxes anyway. And what is in the hand is not much different than what he would be earning as his pension or anything. But still, he does not want to go into the pension state. Rather, he wants to continue to work. Why? The fear inside. That I have done it. This has all been very strongly implanted inside. So as long as that thoughts are inside, Krishna says it's very difficult. So, kartrutva buddhi, indispensable. So Krishna says, once you understood this, that is liberation. That what Krishna's another point is here, that whatever capacity one has, and even if that person is not 100% perfect in his dealings in this world, Krishna will talk about this later. Even if his dealings in this world are not 100% perfect, if his goal is Krishna, then you can take it that his life is more purposeful, or he's living a proper life, because eventually his mind will become peaceful, because he's fixed his goal on Krishna. If one has fixed his goal on Krishna, even if that person's life is not 100% perfect in his dealings and activities, eventually it will all get sorted and he'll come to this peaceful state of mind. Eventually, it will happen to him. On the other hand, a person who is doing everything perfectly in this world, all follows all the morals of the world and does not get entangled in any sinful activities, but if he has no goal of self-realization within him, that eventually, even though his goal, his activities are proper, all his good qualities, what he has got, he will lose them at the end. Because the goal was not strong. Goal was not proper. So remember, we discussed this before, how important it is that the goal should be right. And the goal should be spoken about, goal should be meditated upon all the time. And because such a person, even though he has doing everything, there are many people in this world who doesn't engage in sinful activity, who live a normal, peaceful life, and they are very, morally they are right. Morally they live a moral life. In other words, they don't give trouble to others unnecessarily. In their dealings with the world outside, they are very fair. They don't want to cheat anyone. They do their job in the office or wherever workplace, and they earn a living in a proper way, and they maintain the family in a proper way. They teach the family members also to live in a truthful way. An average family like this. There are people like that. You see such people all the time, isn't it? Even such people, although they are doing all these things, at some point in time in life, they won't be able to carry on with it forever, because some forces will pull them out from their stable situation, and they will be forced to act in the wrong way at some point or the other. Krishna is saying here, the only reason why it happens is because their goal is not clear. Whereas a person who is doing things in this world, making a lot of mistakes in his daily life, some kind of mistakes can happen, unable to keep everything together properly in one's own life. In spite of all that, Krishna says, if his goal is correct, Krishna is the goal, eventually all these things will turn out in such a way that ultimately he'll be a happy person. This is an important thing. This is a secret of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that you may, gives the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj himself. Yudhishthira followed all dharma very seriously, but ultimately Yudhishthira was an unhappy person. Arjuna fought the war and did a lot of things, but Arjuna was a very straightforward person, and Arjuna had a lot of weaknesses in him. Yudhishthira didn't have such weaknesses like Arjuna had. Arjuna's weaknesses were that whenever, as a Kshatriya king, he went wandered around everywhere, he dressed up like a sannyasi to get Subhadra, and he married Draupadi, and in that time, in the form of Brihannala, he had to, in the incognito, he had to stay in the palace of King Virata. So many things Arjuna did like that, which Yudhishthira didn't do. And Arjuna had to play different roles in life according to the situation, what demanded. He was acting in that way. But because Arjuna has taken complete Krishna shelter, and the knowledge what Krishna has given to Arjuna, eventually everything happened well for Arjuna. Arjuna became victorious in the war, and Arjuna became a first-class devotee as well from that. So Krishna is saying that Arjuna's life is much more a better life than compared to anybody else, even including Yudhishthira's life. Yudhishthira had to be spoken later on by Krishna to become peaceful about the war, isn't it? That such a moral person, so much involved in dharma and religious activities, he, if you read the words what Yudhishthira has spoken after the war, that because of me, so many women have become without husbands, and children have become without the father, and I have killed so many Akshauhinis or the army because of this bloody war, what we had to fight, and what did I gain from this? All crisis developed inside. Crisis developed inside Yudhishthira. And similarly, in our life also, every time we may think that, oh, I'm living perfect life, living a peaceful life, I'm doing everything according to the social norms, I'm perfect. But Krishna is saying that the goal is not clear, in spite of all your morals and all your perfection in life, if the goal is not, you're not anchored onto the soul and to the perfection of the spiritual self-realization is not the goal, then all these things one day will eventually pull you down. It is not going to be peaceful at all. On the other hand, the other person who has lived their life with a lot of mistakes in life happens. All the time you make mistakes in different situations. And unable to control the senses also. Completely sometimes we may fall due to sense gratification. In spite of all that, if his goal is clear in his head, that self-realization is the goal, Krishna says everything will fall in place and he will come back to that state of peacefulness eventually. That's the important point. That, so, in other words, mind will go in different directions. Buddhayo avyavasayinam, Krishna said, isn't it? Vyavasayatmiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. In that verse, in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentions that. Ekeha Kurunandana. In the two verses later, we saw that. Ekeha Kurunandana. Bahushaga Hyanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. It is many branched. Many branched, Krishna says. Bahushaga Anandascha Avyayo Avyavasayinam. That this is the secret of. If you recognize this secret, Krishna says, our thoughts also will move in that direction. If this secret is recognized, Krishna says, our chitavritti will move in that direction. That because the way it works is, whatever you have given importance in life, the mind will go in that route, isn't it? Suppose our importance is on money or acquiring wealth, all our activities will be centered around that. We'll be thinking about that, how much money, how much can we make from this deal or that deal, and how with the money will increase, a bank account will increase, and our assets will increase. This way mind will go. If the thoughts are centered around health, then we'll be always reading all the health magazines, constant visiting GP, and constantly talking to others about the health, what he has done, organic vegetables we will eat, and all that side of way mind will go in that direction, if you are concerned about the health. If you are concerned about the beauty of the body, you will go for such things, how to beautify the body, looking at others all the time, looking at the mirror, how beautiful you look, and things like that. That's because you are conscious of that part. This is importance in life. If you give importance to something else, say for example, you want followers and you want fame and name and fame, then you will go into that such field where you can earn such things, name and fame and things like that. So what is the goal that determines your activity, isn't it? The goal decides your activity. Krishna is telling us, if the goal is self-realization, then in an automatically natural way, the mind will also go in that direction. Provided the goal is self-realization. Then what will happen? We will start thinking about people who are in that field, operating in the process of self-realization. Then we will accept some ideas from them, and we will in that process also we will develop some attachment to that. Similarly, in the business or in other activities, if you are attached to gold, you will be concerned about the gold prices going up and down, stocks and shares, their prices going up and down. So, our chitavritti or our thoughts inside us also will never change because of that. The ultimate goal of life decides the way we live in this life. That is the main thing Krishna is saying here. So, if our realization is centered around the self-realization, then naturally our thoughts will also develop in that way. Here, there is an important point. People ask this question, how do I know that I am making spiritual advancement? Quite often you will see this question coming from people. Answer is very, very simple. It's not difficult. Krishna gave us these three states of existence, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In this Swapnam state has been created an opportunity for us to study our subtle body. That's what is this Swapnam state is. So, if you go to sleep at night, and in the night, when the dreams come, if all the dreams are related to Krishna, related to the temple, devotees, and spiritual life and spiritual involvement, activities, you can take it that you are progressing in spiritual path. On the other hand, if in spite of engaging in spiritual life whole day, in the night when you start dreaming, all other anxieties are coming in and worrying us. Because in the dream state, the gross body is not there. Gross body has left you. The senses are not there. You are left with your subtle body. an ideal opportunity to study yourself inside. What's going on? What's going on inside? And that's the time when subtle body comes into full steam, full operation at that time. So at that time, all your karma vasanas inside will come out in different forms. In different form. And that's the dream what you are experiencing at night. The karma vasanas inside. So when you experience those karma vasanas at night in the dream, if those karma vasanas are related to your material life in this world, material activities in this world, we can take it, our Krishna consciousness level is very poor. Very poor it is. No thoughts coming in terms with Krishna. We are not dreaming about Krishna, are we? At least I can say about myself, I never dreamt about Krishna once in life so far. Okay? So, if you look at the great personalities, Vilumangal Thakur, all that he wrote that Krishna Karnamram is from the dream. So imagine how much he was dreaming. And his dream, all his dreams were about Krishna. Nothing else outside Krishna he dreamt. And we never dreamt once about Krishna. We dreamt about all our problems of this world, all our vasanas inside us from previous lifetimes, that pops up in the all our sense gratification, where it was different experiences. Everybody, it is different. So subtle body manifests completely in dream, in front of us. And that is a very strong indication of the level of Krishna consciousness where we are. That's the most important thing. Subtle body has been created. You see, Krishna is so kind to us. He tells us, you find your gross body, enjoy with the gross body at part of the time. Part of the time you enjoy with your subtle body. And part of the time you stay without any body. Gross body and subtle body. Karana Shariram is there, but Karana Shariram has very little effect on us. It is automatic transmission happening there without your knowledge. So, Stula Sushma Karana Shariram, three bodies, and Krishna gives us certain times for each of that every day in life. That's the beauty of it. Every day he gives you these three bodies to experience. Stula Sushma Karana Shariram. And we don't take any note of these things. We only take the Jagrat, the vacant state, as reality. And whatever happens there is the absolute thing. No, it's not. If you go in a certain level and start thinking about it, you can understand immediately that this Sushma Shariram is a strong indication of what we are, actually. Our own personality. Personality means our true nature. Because Jivatvam is Sushma Shariram. The Jiva nature has come from the Sushma Shariram, the subtle body, isn't it? These are different names used in the Shastram. Sushmam, Shariram, Jiva, and Prarabdhavasana, they are different names. It's one and the same thing, known in different times in different names, that's all. So, Sushma Shariram is what we are. Jiva is what that is. And if that Sushma Shariram is made up of all these different kinds of vasanas, which pops up in the dream state, you can see where we are spiritually. Where we are spiritually. So, we don't have to go and ask anyone about we don't have to ask somebody else, that, Prabhu, what do you think about me? How advanced am I? How advanced I am? I don't have to ask somebody else to give that answer. And we don't have to make any remark about somebody else or how advanced he is. Because you may be thinking, by his externals, you may be thinking he is very advanced. But in dream state, what he is experiencing, only he knows. You don't know that. So, but artificially you can show to the world that I am very advanced, I am always dreaming about Krishna, I am always, never, moment, as soon as I go to sleep, Radharani comes in the sleep and start telling me what I should be doing tomorrow. People are there like that in this world, I'm telling you, that they make this propaganda. That, and we say this, that he is doing this in the night, he is getting these dreams. He hasn't said that, but the followers say this about him. That, my Guru Maharaj is always dreaming. Radharani is directly talking to him every minute. And he gets a phone call from Golokam every day, what he has to do the next day. So like this, we can make it up, so many nonsense in this world. But this is not the truth. The truth is that subtle body, when you are in contact, and we be honest about it, that this is my situation. I'm not getting any dreams about Krishna, about Radharani, any one of them. All I'm getting is all the enemies what I've created in my life. They come in the dream and haunt me that I will take care of you some point in time. So I'm trying to escape from their attack. When will they come? This is only fear. And I wake up from that straight away. Dream is gone. The only thing is just come in the dream and gone. But I know inside what is there, standing there. So it is not easy to escape from all these things. So Krishna is saying there that the so deep-rooted is this karma vasana inside. And so deep-rooted this ragam and dvesham I have created. That is why, remember yesterday we were discussing that we have created already enough enemies in this world. Enough enemies. They are ready to jump upon you, pounce upon you any time. They get the opportunity. But at least not to create that inside. And the problem is, it's not the fear of them that is. The fear is that once they are living inside you, they will come up at the time of death. That's when they catch you. In order to explain that, is Bhikshu Gita spoken in the Bhagavatam later. See, science of spiritual life is very subtle. It's a subtle thing. It's not something we discussed in the marketplaces and all in the big industrial centers. It is a very subtle thing developing inside a person. How the individual soul is experiencing different things, and subtle understanding is necessary. So when you, in the world, we have three different relationships. Shatru, Mitram, Udasinam. It says in the Bhagavatam very clearly. Shatrus are the number one. Remember, they are your enemies first. Then less powerful than them is the Mitram. We think more about our enemies than our friends, isn't it? Friends, we take it for granted. Then there is a third category, Udasinam. Udasinam means with them we have no attachment or aversion. You can put everybody in this world under these three columns, isn't it? There's not a fourth column. You have either friends, you have enemies, friends and indifferent. Neither enemies nor friends in that category. So, either these three categories, everybody will fall. Shatru, Mitra, Udasinam. Krishna says there, when any of these three columns, there are people in your list, at the time of death, the possibility is that especially the first column will come in front of you. In front of you, the first column people will come to talk to you. And that will be the biggest danger what you can expect from life. Because while leaving the body, you are thinking about your enemy and leaving this body means you have to take birth in that form to counteract to that. The thoughts goes, his consciousness develops inside. And what happens slowly, as Krishna said before, that will become stronger and stronger. And after some time you start thinking, am I not that person? Like happened to Jadabharata, isn't it? Bharata happened like this. Bharata brought the deer, and the deer, he started looking at the deer and started getting attached to it. Eventually, at the time of death, Bharata Maharaj, this thought came about the deer because of that attachment. And at some point in time, he lost his own identity as King Bharata, that identity with his own body, he lost it. And because he was constantly thinking about the deer's welfare, he started thinking, am I not that deer? And that is the point when you move on to the deer's body. So similarly, if all these enemies what we have created in life, one after the other comes at the time of death, whoever be the strongest enemy whom you have created, that will be the friend of everybody else. And you will start thinking about him so strongly because the revenge inside and the feeling so strong that you lose your identity with this body and start thinking about that body, that person's body, and you'll start thinking, am I not that person? And you have to accept that body in the next life with whom you have thought about. These are unbroken rules. It cannot be broken. This is material nature's law. Nobody can do anything about it. So Krishna is saying here, we'll come to that later in the Agadisha Skandam, when it comes to Bhikshu Gita, this is the lesson what Krishna is telling us. That Shatru, Mitra, Udasinan, if you don't keep all three of them away from your life, if you allow them to grow inside, they will cause problem for you at the time of death. And in order to explain that fact, Bhikshu Gita was spoken in the Bhagavatam. So here, what we have to remember here is, Krishna says here that the that the somehow or the other the mind should free from all these things. Brahmi sthiti, what Krishna is going to talk later about it, must happen to us. In Brahmi sthiti, therefore, you don't allow these vasanas to grow inside. And this is the reason that we have to act without attachment and aversion in this world. Because it goes a long way in life, how it's going to control us, even right up to the point of death. So, stressing the importance of that, Krishna is saying right now, that practice karma yogam. If you have to engage in karma, you do it as yogam, karma yogam. And do that karma yogam with this understanding of freedom from attachment, aversion, and doer and enjoyer. Let this not develop inside. We'll go through it tomorrow again. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.